Before I get to the kinds of gifts, let's read these three scriptures. You won't see them, so you'll have to listen to me. Colossians 1 verse 12, it says that the Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Inheritance. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 2, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So as I'm reading these, there's just going to be three scriptures for now. I'm asking you to, from these scriptures, answer a couple of questions. What is the purpose of the gifts? Is the gifts for only one or more than one? And how often should we have gifts? Does the gifts only fall on you once on a holy Sunday? Okay. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So I'm not only going to talk about the spiritual gifts, but the gifts that the Father bestows on us is for the profit of all. It is, the purpose for it is so that it profits the church itself. Not that it makes me look weird and wonderful and I can post a YouTube clip about me being speaking in tongues or bringing a prophecy. And many times young Christians that do get spirit-filled can be very arrogant about this. Now they need to tell everybody about their spiritual gift and be all weird. It's not. It's your gift was given to you so that you can give it to the church. That's why the topic of the sermon is a gift to give. You've been given a gift by God, either a spiritual gift, just a gift from the Father, or a gift from the Son, to be a blessing, a prophet to the church. Amen? So let's not get weird about it or arrogant about it. It is to give. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26. And this is a challenge for us as a church. So before I read that, as with what attitude should we come to church, come to small group? An attitude, I say this often, an attitude to come and receive or to give. I think that will distinguish what kind of a church we are. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So this scripture challenges, all of us. It almost, it probably paints us a picture of how the early church was. It was when they came together, this one started singing, this one had a prophecy, this one had a dream, this one had a vision. It wasn't one guy doing the job. It was everybody had something and they came to share that with the other one. And it was uplifting, it was edifying. That's the purpose of the gifts. And depending on where you are in your Christian walk with God, either if you're young and you just come saved, you need a lot of input. You need the word to be given to you. You need clarification on a lot of things. But then you grow older, and then what do we do? Where does God want us to reach? What level of maturity? He wants us to reach this where church is. I still wish for that day, but it can happen. And Yaku was sharing at our intercession on Thursday, and I think that's where we need to head towards. Is where, yes, there's a sermon prepared, but we can actually be busy here for an whole hour with this. Each of you a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Just busy with that. Who's next? What did God tell you? Okay, yes, come. Here's the mic. Tell us. Somebody, I believe somebody's got sicknesses. Come forward. Then we minister, we pray, things happen. So, and the best place for us to exercise this would be in our small groups. But it shouldn't be a place, and like Yankor calls it, a passenger ship, where everybody comes and it's a passenger ship and we just, what do you do on those passenger ships, huh? You indulge. I don't know what you do on them. I honestly don't want to go on them. I'd rather go on a small little boat cruise to the Mentawai's Islands that I can serve. But you can either be a passenger ship, like Yanko says, or a battleship. It is somewhere where you come, you land, you refuel, and you go. And you reach the nations. Are you with me? Right. But we are not a passenger ship. Amen? We're a battleship. And God is going to help us as a church. He wants to help us so that the gifts can flow. Let's look at just quickly the three types of gifts that God talks about in His Word. And today I'm just teaching. I'm not going to be my old self preaching about reaching the world. I'm evangelistic of nature, but I'm not going to do that today. We get gifts of the Holy Spirit. I would like to call them, that is almost the area in your life where I would say you're anointed in. That means it's the area of your life where stuff happens. But it happens not because of your wisdom of Scripture, your intellect of Scripture. It happens because there's an anointing of God on you, on that life. When you pray for people, they get healed. When you prophesy, it happens. When you pray for people, you always have words of wisdom or knowledge. It's an anointing that the Holy Spirit adds to your life. But the Holy Spirit needs to do that. Then there's the Son, the gifts of Jesus Christ, or the Son of God. And they are almost like, they can always be also be called the office gifts. The gifts you run, you operate in that office. They are apostle, prophet, evangelist, etc. Prophet, I said prophet. But not everybody is a prophet or evangelist. That is a specific office mandate that God gives to people in His church. And you and I are not necessarily one of them, but God could call one of us to it. But a church should have all five of them. It should have input from all five of them. So that we don't always hear from the teacher, but every now and then the evangelist can help us to get up and go and reach out. And then the prophet can give us some direction. Then the teacher can come and clarify the word. You see what I'm saying? That is a specific office that God calls you to. Are you with me? Then the gifts of the Father, they sometimes, well, they call it motivation gifts or creation. I think they call it creation gifts. But that is almost what you have been. You've been made that way. You've been created that way. You're a leader type of person. You're a giving type of person. That is your character and your nature. It's not that something that the Holy Spirit, after you get saved, comes and gives you like the spiritual gift. You grew up, you'll be like that if you're saved or not saved. You'll either be a leader, whether you're saved or not saved, but you have that. You like to give, you're saved or not saved. It's your nature. But the Father still gave us those things so that we can give them for us to the church. And that first scripture I read is Colossians 1:12. Has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Inheritance. It's almost like God, there's a certain inheritance for that is only kept for you. It's Theo's inheritance. It's Ivan's. And I can't bring that, or Ivan can't bring my portion, what I need to give, bring to the church. He can't bring it because he doesn't have it. I need to bring it. I can't give what you are supposed to give. Everyone has got a portion that God has given us, and he wants to give it to us, to operate it in it, to flow in it, so that it can be a blessing to the church. So if you withhold it, if you don't develop it, you are withholding that edification and inheritance from the church. Are you with me? So, that's why we must trust God, and I'm wanting to trust Him, to bring us to a place where we don't feel like the outside cousin at the braai who doesn't know where he fits. Everybody knows where they fit. They understand. I might be the small little cousin, I don't talk a lot, but I've been created that way, and I'm happy that way, and this is what I can bring. This is what I can contribute. Amen. So that we can flow in that. Okay, let's look at the gifts of the Son, the office gifts. We know them. Ephesians 4 verse 11. I don't want to spend too much time on them. And He gave apostles 1, prophets 2, evangelists 3, shepherds 4, teachers 5. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. And they are, I asked, who in our church? Now you have to think broader picture, Shofar Church. I'm going to ask you, just tell me, is an evangelist? Quentin said, yeah, thanks. I know that. But see us, yes. Who is a teacher? Dennis Senior. Ja, dis waarom hy so lief is vir Bybelskool. Dis reg. A prophet. No, apostle. Fred. Okay, let's start with apostle. I just run through a few things. Apostles carry out the ministry of God. They are in the broader leadership. They are in broader leadership given by Christ. What did I put up there? They are called to extend the kingdom of God. Paul in the Bible is a good example. The man was on fire. He couldn't help it. Churches were planted where he goes. They are specifically appointed by God, and we shouldn't be quick to call ourselves apostles, because it comes quite a lot of responsibility with that, and you'll know if you're one, and you know when you're not. But like Fred, you know, they're called by God, and they establish God's kingdom. They oversee large parts of the church, and they are given to us by God. So those are the powerful people, and we need them if we want to reach the world. Apostles. Next one, prophet. We're going to run through them all. A prophet brings a special divinely and focused message from God. Fred, I believe, also operates in this quite a lot. They could look at a scripture. I still don't know how it works. You know, every now and then I maybe get it right. But they would preach about some passage of scripture. You and I would read it 20 times, but we don't hear what he read. I mean, we don't hear what he just preached. But when he preaches it, you're like, yes, this makes sense, you know. But why didn't I see that? It's because God gave him that specific message to direct us in a specific way. And I love it. I get nervous when Fred does not do that in the beginning of the year. When he brings a message, and it's like almost for the whole year, he says that way. So you know we're going there. And for the whole year, we just focus on this one thing. And it's revelation on revelation on revelation. That's what a prophet does. It has insight. He has insight into the counsel of the Lord and points the church in the right direction. Proclaim that which is appropriate for a time and season in God's purpose. They understand the seasons of God. It's important, yet one word, it proclaims. I'm going to hammer on this a couple of times. But they hear things from God and then they proclaim it. It's the difference between just talking to your wife, pass me the salt or the pepper, and proclaiming something. Proclaiming is where you say, God shows you something in the spirit, and this spirit of apathy in Swakopmund should stop. And this is how God's going to do it. Then you speak into the spiritual realm and you proclaim it there. It does things there and you set things in motion there. And that's why I also don't want to call myself a prophet, but because you need to hear from God. But in our church, I don't know, by the way, in the gifts of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there's only one that is repeated in all three, and it's prophecy. Prophecy is in all three of them. Prophecy is important to keep us on the edge, to help us to not get lauwarm. Yes. It keeps us. It should keep us there. Those people must keep us awake. Evangelist. Evangelist like Reinhard Bonnke, Angus Buchan. If you ask a teacher to analyze Angus Buchan's messages or Reinhard Bonnke's, they'll say, yes, it's quite superficial, their message. It's so simple. It's so easy. I mean, Jesus Christ died. We all know that. But when they say that, people give their lives to God. They don't come with, not always, but with these massive sermons, deep revelations. No, no, no. It's just Jesus died for you. And people come and say, I need him. Evangelist. They draw unbelievers. They draw people. And people give their lives to God. They establish new works. And they mobilize the church. in that area. They will always be the one that says, come on, people. It's not time to teach now. It's time to reach out and preach and get people saved. And that's great. You know, sometimes it can feel like these people, we're contradicting ourselves in church. We're not. We're just a healthy bunch of individuals with diverse gifts that God needs at a specific time. This one must operate and then that one, etc. Are you with me? They draw the unconverted. I also want to add there, unconverted means, oh, that sounds so terrible. People that don't believe in God yet actually feel quite comfortable around them. I wouldn't, let me clarify that statement. It's not like they hang with people and it's just sinning, all that stuff. But people that seek God, that don't know Him yet, actually are drawn to these people. It's like, I know you're a Christian, but I don't know why, but I like spending time with you. That anointing to draw people. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Matthew 13 verse 30. They always hammer on this. Let both grow together until the time of harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. They're always on about the harvest. The harvest is ready. The fourth one is a pastor. The word pastor comes from the word to protect and to be a shepherd. Aaron John always reminds me, Namibian shepherds are wrong because they walk behind sheep and they, is it behind sheep? Yes, and they drive the sheep. Real shepherds go in front. And they say, okay, come follow. We go, yeah. No, not there. There's a bear and a lion. Let's go here. They lead people. They're the father and the mother figures of a church. They nurture people. They help Christians from infancy to greater heights. They care. They feed the flock. And a church needs, obviously, a pastor. And by the way, our pastor, Yaku, is not... I don't know if I can say this about him, but it's recorded, so he can take me on about it. But I don't think he's a pure pastor, but still, he's kind of a go-getter. But our church just needs this fivefold from wherever it comes. We need it. So although he's the pastor of our church, he's, I believe, quite apostolic, prophetic, which is wonderful. But Carl from Windhoek, Pastor. He could sit and listen to your issue for 5 days straight. And Yako would be like, after 30 minutes, get somebody else. Where's Hilu? Then he'd call Hilu or somebody. But we all need a pastor. Then the last one is the teacher. They bring balance in every aspect of doctrine. They are, in Afrikaans, they sometimes say, "Party mense is met die Bybel oor die kop geslaan." That's them. They don't easily read other books. They read the Bible. But we need them to direct us, to clarify us certain things in our minds. Sometimes I need to tell you, throw away some of your books, your spiritual books, and read the Bible. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what is important to note here, and I want to say it specifically, is they're not people that say or portray that I know everything. They're teachable. Hini Swart. With the Bible school dean. Is he the dean? He's a teacher. He's a humble man. He's open to learn. People that say, and I want you to, can I say, chase them away? You can judge if you can. But if people come into your life, barge into your life, they're never teachable. You can't teach them anything. They don't want to listen to the pastor. They're not a teacher. They're not anointed. They're not spirit. They're not. So spiritual. God's people are open, easy, and they want to learn. They've got a teachable spirit. And they're always ready to learn from others. Amen. Then, let's get to the... You know, I like these. There's this thing that we did in church, they analyze your profile. What type of a person are you? Are you a dominant person? Are you a people's person? Are you an analytical person? I just loved that because I'm married. So I need to figure out how to manage different opinions. Now all the married people are like, they're not looking at their spouse now, they're looking other way. But I love it because we can either fight the differences and try and change the other one and fail terribly, because that's not your purpose, to change your wife or your husband. Just learn how to live with it. How to get, why is my wife so different? Why, Lord? Why did you give it to me? To find out what the blessing is in that. So I love these sermons, to figure out the differences amongst us. And you know what? You are going to find a specific person with a specific inclination that irritates you. That's normal. You must learn to live with it and to let that person bless you, and you bless him when it's necessary. Amen. The gifts of the Father. These are the things you're like born with. Romans 12 verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Here it goes. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. There they are. The first one, it starts with prophecy. Here I want to highlight a few things. Now, this is your nature. This is not you have been called to be a prophet. This is your nature. This is your inclination to speak forthright and with insight, to speak with boldness. Haven't you seen these people in church? They don't come up here with, "Morning, I feel the Lord is saying this." No, no, no. I've got scripture and I need to tell you what's happening here. That's prophets. But, very important, a prophet is to influence others in one's arena of influence with a positive spirit of social or spiritual righteousness. Just focus on with a positive spirit of spiritual righteousness. Positive spirit. They can use this gift to encourage, exhort, and comfort people. The difference that I want you to pick up, Yaku mentioned it last week, is somebody that barges into your life, feels he's a prophet, and cannot stop stepping on you, telling you what's wrong with your life, where you're not making it, is no prophet at all. Because that's not a positive spirit, a spirit that comes with love to encourage, exhort, and comfort you. Now, I'm not saying he cannot bring a hard word to you. Not a hard word, a word of correction or a word of warning. But if he brings it to you, it will be because he's got a relationship with you, or you would experience it as bringing it in love. But prophets are people that if they know you long enough and God is speaking to them, they could come to you and say, "Listen, brother, I've seen you're falling for the sin again. What's happening?" The mercy person, which we'll get to, won't do that. But you need them to, every now and then you need to be open and accountable to allow that person to come into your life, and then he must speak that word of truth. Because another characteristic of them is they hate evil and they hate sin, and they'll tell you about it. And that's all right. But what I'm saying is this loveless thing that sometimes people come from another church that it can't actually stay in one church and they want to preach everywhere. And they've got words for everybody. I don't want to hear from them. And if you have difficulty chasing them away, come to me, I'll do it for you. But that's not a spirit, a positive spirit, coming in love to correct us. Yes, we can be corrected. Amen. They may appear impersonal, but it's just because they hate to see what sin does in people's lives. So they come with love and they hate to see the destruction and they want to get rid of it. They always come expressing the need for us to repent. Guys, we need to repent. God is showing us this. We need to fast and pray and get rid of this. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And we should not chase those people away if they come in love. And if that's the inclination, we should receive what they're telling us. The next one is the gift of serving, or the gift of ministry. They render this with love And they want to meet the needs of others. Matthew 20:26. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. They serve. Not serve. They're very practical people. Fred would come and he would say, this is the vision and we're going to reach the whole nation. And these people would think, Fred, do you know what this is going to require? It's fine, this vision of yours. But I'm thinking of the practical details. What's next? Now we need to find a car to go on missions, buy a car. Do you know how much a car costs? How are these people going to get leave to go on this mission? They think that stuff. While the mission man is just like, I don't care how we're going to get there. This is what we need to do. He immediately thinks practical. He wants to serve. He wants to help pack up the chairs, move the speakers. Who in our church is like that? Don't say me. I'm not. I'm thinking of someone specifically, Walter. Because these people also can't say no to anything. So what I have to do with these serving ministry type of people, every now and then the pastor needs to go to him and say, how many things are you doing in church? 45. Okay, we need to get rid of 40. But that's the nature. They can't say no. When they see a need, they help. When they see somebody without food, they help. They give. They're very practical. Next one is teaching. That's also a gift of the Son. It's also an office to be a teacher. But they are scripturally orientated. They're objective and analytical. Is it up there? Now, I'm not like that. My wife is terribly analytical. I don't know if all women are, but you can never make this statement. You never say, I don't know, I shouldn't think of an example now, but my wife would always have 10 questions after I say, we need to do this. And how are we going to do it? Where is it going to happen? What do you mean? I don't know. I didn't think of all of this. I'm not analytical. Lost me. But teachers are like that. They analyze that. They love to research the Bible, Scripture. Word is primary in their life, and they stick to the Bible. They'll tell you easily, get rid of that spiritual book for a while. Who's the teacher? Oh, we said that. Henny and Dennis. Yeah. If you say something to Dennis that he thinks is not in Scripture, man, you'll hear about it. But that's great. We need them. We need them. Exhortation. It means to encourage, to entreat, to comfort or instruct people. But what I want to stand still a bit is this person stimulates and strengthens or stimulates spiritual growth. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily a teacher or a prophet that if he sees you are stuck in a rut in your spiritual walk and you can't get out of it, they won't get you out of there necessarily. They quote the scriptures and you'll still be in the hole. The exhorter, the one that comforts, has that ability to, he says the same things, but he has the ability to pick you up out of it and he says, come, let's go. Stimulates that spiritual growth. He says, come on, we're not sitting here, we're going, come. But in the spirit of love, he gets you out of it. They're very good counselors. They could, if somebody comes forward for prayer, yeah, they would listen. Giving, the next one. They have a spirit of generosity. They give. They will also, in most cases, have lots of resources. God will bless them financially, bless them with resources because they have this heart of a give. The more they give, it seems like the more just flows in. They don't know what to do. They give and there's more, and they give and there's more. 2 Corinthians 8:2. For if in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. They are good stewards of wealth. They're the ones that will probably come and ask the pastor, Pastor, where is this church's money going to? And then the pastor shouldn't be up. They must be able to serve them. But what I want to show you is sometimes you get these people. My dad always said, if a person, this is now not completely related, but if a humble, no, if a person always has to explain to you how humble he is, then he's probably not humble. Because humble people don't tell you how humble they are. Givers don't show you how they give. They give, they try and hide the giving almost. Because their nature is, I don't want to catch the limelight. It's just, where's that bank account? They give quietly. Next one, leadership organization. So guys, as I'm going through it, you must identify what you are. Where do you fit in? Because we need your gift. The leader, obviously, likes to stand in front. He's a natural manager. He facilitates everything in church. Let me tell you how difficult some of these things are in church. To see the overall picture and to get everybody with all their diverse needs, abilities, wants, I don't know what, to get them all to be happy. Because the evangelist wants to run there, the teacher wants to run here, the prophet says, no, we're all confused, we should be going that way. This guy needs to figure out, let's fit everybody here and keep everybody happy, because the answer is not only there or there or there. It's there in the middle somewhere. So the leaders, the ones with this ability, and they can be a leader, saved or unsaved, but they have the ability to see the overall picture, like remove themselves a little bit and say, okay, it's not only reaching out. It's some of this and some of this, and let's put it together, and then everybody's happy. Brings everything together. And the more diverse we are, if we were just a bunch of, if we were just Afrikaans people, it would be easy. But we're not just Afrikaans. We're Afrikaans, English, German, Shivambu, Herero, Australian. And we can still make it. We can still be one. The leaders need to help us with this. Where am I now? The last one, mercy. They are compassion motivated. They always have empathy and sympathy with people. They can listen to your problems for hours and sort it out. My wife is somebody like this. She's got this radar. They have this radar, these people. They would stand, they pick up hurt. They can feel it. They stand in worship and they say, but Susie is not lifting up her hands today. And then they wouldn't be judgmental. What, she backsliding again? Something. No, something must be wrong. And then afterwards you would talk to them and sort out the issue. But they pick up the pain. They're sensitive to it. They do, on the other hand, find it difficult to be firm with people. They can't be like, Susie, you need to stop that now. Then you need a prophet to just show her that, or a teacher, and then the mercy person can pray her through the issue. Amen. Are you with me? The last one, and we're going to end with this, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. First Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given this through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. So I'm just going to run through them quickly. That's in 1 Corinthians 12, and those are the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And remember what I said in the beginning, it is for the profit of all. It's for the edification of the church, not to look funny. The first one is the gift of tongues. Before I get to the gift of tongues, I just want to explain. Now, I can't go into deep biblical explanation here. The ability to pray in a tongue. The ability for every believer to pray in a tongue is different than this gift of tongues. We believe, we teach it, and I have experienced it in my life, and I know hundreds of people that have experienced it, that if I ask as a believer, and we'll get to why, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, then I get baptized in the Holy Spirit and I have the ability to pray in a tongue. To pray in a tongue means to pray in a different language, a language that I don't understand. I have never understood what I prayed. But that is separate to this gift of tongues. Now, just let's hang on. Just why do we have, why does God give us the ability to pray in a tongue? And let me just say, some people in our church, they have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. When do you get baptized by the Holy Spirit? When you ask. Not when you fast 75 days or whatever, and you're holy for 20 of them. When you ask. Many people in our church have asked. I believe they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit because God says He doesn't, you know, when we ask Him a good thing, He gives us a good thing. It's not like He's going to withhold the baptism of the Holy Spirit from your life. But some people don't immediately pray in tongues then. That's also fine. If you, one of them, if you haven't prayed in a tongue, if you're struggling with it, I want you to walk out of here feeling okay, feeling you're fine. But you can earnestly desire to pray in a tongue. For instance, my wife, somebody prayed for her. She didn't pray in a tongue immediately. She walked on the beach, said, "Lord, please give me this," and she started praying in a tongue. So, pressure never brings it. Everybody of us can pray in a tongue. God wants to. Why does He want us to? Just some scriptures for you to think of. Isaiah 55 verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." 1 Corinthians 2 verse 7. No, 1 Corinthians 14:2. "For he who speaks in a tongue, speak in a tongue, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." The first one says, my ways are higher, my thoughts are higher, God's ways are higher. So I've experienced a lot of times in my life, I don't know what to pray, I'm frustrated, I want to pray, but I can't get the words out in English or Afrikaans, and I pray in the Spirit. I'm led by God, and I pray in the Spirit, and I feel afterwards, I don't know what happened now, but something happened. And that is because my spirit connects, that spiritual language that God has given me connects directly, communicates directly and perfectly with God, and it's higher than, I can't understand it. You can't, if you're here this morning, you're trying to figure out the praying in tongues with your head, it's not going to happen. Sorry, it's not going to happen. But it is a wonderful thing to have, to pray in the Spirit, to connect with God. And we speak mysteries unto God. So that's the gift of it. It is for edification of yourself. But the spirit of speaking in tongues should mostly be accompanied by this interpretation of it. Because if I speak in a tongue here now, pray in a tongue, what benefit does it to you? Nothing. And the Bible says the gifts of the Holy Spirit is for the edification of the body. So if I pray in a tongue here, I don't edify nobody because they don't understand me. But if somebody comes and interprets that, then it edifies because then we understand. And it happened to me once. God led me to pray in a tongue and I walked away and I thought, oh goodness, what's happening here? And luckily a lady came and she interpreted it. So then everybody could be blessed. But that's the first, the gift of tongues. It can operate in that way. See us also, this is what we can trust God for. They went on a mission and some guy said, like a white guy from South Africa, I need to pray in tongues now. And when he started praying tongues, the black tribe, one of the tribes were like, because he explained the gospel to them in their language, which he didn't understand. Perfectly explained the gospel to them and they got saved. He couldn't speak the language. God gave him that tongue. That's great. Okay, so are you with me? Gift of tongues. Interpretation of the tongues. Next one, prophecy. We were there. We've mentioned a lot of the things. Prophecy to edify the body. It's a supernatural proclamation or telling God's will. Prophecy. And that's why Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, who we should especially desire to prophesy because it edifies the body of Christ. And we as a church should trust God for this more and more, for the gift of prophecy. Because we're dealing with spiritual strongholds and demons that have strongholds either over people's lives or over Namibia or parts of Namibia. And it's prophecy that unlocks those things. It's not just my nice preaching. It's prophetic proclamations that breaks those things, that pulls them apart, that sets us in motion to get somewhere. Amen. Word of knowledge. Before I get, where is a good place to exercise these gifts? Because we can exercise them. We're going to make mistakes. But it's okay if you make a mistake. Where can we exercise them? Okay. To answer that, what are we supposed to do with the gifts? Edify and encourage the church. So, I would think the answer is somewhere where there's a need. Not in your closet. It's only your need. The need, where I've seen it happen, I remember right in the beginning year, I had to do foundation 1 and 2 on my own. Then there's 15 people sitting and I have to pray for them. And then I pray and then God gives me one word after the other word after the other word. But it's because the need is there. I'm where the need is. Good place to exercise it is in your small group, yes. Or when somebody comes forward here, come to one youth evening. I'll help you to understand, to flow in your gift. Then we make an altar call. Those kids, all of them come forward every Friday for the same thing. You come forward, you pray for them, and that's when God, if you're honest and you're humble, and that you have this need staring you in the face, then you're like, Lord, what now? That's when the gifts come, because there's a need. That's when the gift flows, because that's where the gift was made to flow. So that one can be blessed. Lord, what's happening here? I feel God is telling me, when you were 6 years old, your dad left you. Is that right? Yes, that's right. How do you know? God told me, but God tells you that you're going to be set free and you're going to know Him as your Father. That's where the gift works. Prophetic. I see that you also struggle with the same things in your life, but God is going to make you a leader. In Jesus' name, we prophesy that over your life. This spiritual immaturity that you feel, we're going to break it in Jesus' name. God's going to make you a leader. You're going to run this nation or whatever. Prophetic. It flows because He's got a need. 15 years of neglect. We need to fix. We can't fix it with our words and with human words. We need to fix it with the gifts, the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Because we don't have another 15 years to fix it. That's when Jesus meets a prostitute at a well. He fixes her life in 10 minutes because He's got a word of wisdom. So come and exercise it where the need is. The gifts don't flow if we look for them in our closet. Because the need, well, you might have a need or your family might have a need, but it flows where the need is. So sometimes people come to me, I honestly get frustrated with them. Like, we don't flow enough in the gifts. I don't flow in the gifts. If I make an altar call and there's somebody standing in front, if I'm talking to that person, I don't see you there. Don't come and complain to me again about your gift because you don't want to exercise it. Can't help you. I've got a need when people come forward so that we can help me deliver these people. Word of knowledge. It reveals a part of God's knowledge. Like I said, God can show you something that happened in somebody's past and it unlocks something in that person's life and he's set free. Discerning of spirits. We must trust God. Let me just say that we pray for somebody. Say, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you want the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Come, let's pray. Ask God. The Holy Spirit must do it for you because I can't do it. And then we must help believers. We must help them say, let's pray for you. I believe you've got this gift. Because that's how they did it with me. That's what's supposed to happen in Foundation 1 is we facilitate people to understand what their gifting is. And I remember from the first day I went to Foundation 1, 15 years ago, the guy said, he believes I operate in this, discerning of spirits. And I do think he's right. And what does this mean, discerning of spirits? It's a, not this nonsense you see on TV, exorcist nonsense. Oh, I just need to watch my language. But it is, you judge the motives of somebody. You can judge it automatically. You detect the source. You detect where this is coming from. My wife and I are quite good in this together. But, and it's none of us here, but sometimes you get people visiting from outside or new people, and I just pick up something, and I'm like, nah, something is not right here. This is to help discern that, to help the motive of where this is coming from. To strip the mask of the evil one, to see what's behind this. Word of wisdom, it is a specific word given by the Holy Spirit at a specific moment, supernaturally disclosing the mind, purpose, and way of God as applied to a specific situation. This revelation generally concerns the future. As other than the word of knowledge, which is knowledge of past events, words of wisdom can be where God tells you something that's going to happen in future. Listen, brother, I feel that in a couple of weeks' time, there's going to be a business deal that you are going to have to contemplate, think about. God says you must be careful. Check it out. Pray beforehand. Words of wisdom. Mission team, you're going to go. God says you must be careful when you cross the border. Wisdom, are you with me? It's more future. It's future. It's not something that has happened, but God gives you direction, and it can be about future events. Then the last three there, I don't need to say too much about them. The gift of healing. God, scripture says that we all can lay hands on people and they can get healed, but somebody that flows in the gift of healing is just like a bit extra. That happens around you. When you lay your hands on people, they get healed. Gift of faith. You can trust God for supernatural things to happen. I use this example again. And I'm terribly convicted. You know, in some Chinese churches, who was here in the first service? You're going to need to hear it again. But they would leave church, because church is not at one place. And they would see you next week. We don't know where, but we'll see you there. Then they tell nobody, because it needs to be underground. And then they all meet at the place the Holy Spirit shows them. They all hear from the Holy Spirit. Go there. There's church. I don't know where I'll be. Man. I'll follow somebody that's like. Or I'll have to. Faith. Faith. And the last one, we're working of miracles. Trusting God to do the supernatural things. The miracle is a temporary suspension of the accustomed order. It's when things don't happen as they're supposed to happen. You're not supposed to walk on water, and you walk on water. Miracles. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you for being so patient in this heat. I want us to close our heads and just pray. And I want to make an invitation to anyone that wants us to pray. You're either uncertain of your gift, but just for a moment, think of that picture that I painted in the beginning of a family, and each and everyone knows why he's here. Feels like he fits. But I believe there's some of us here that you don't feel as if you fit. And I just want to say to you and prophesy into your life is that you're not a mistake. You weren't created differently to feel out. You were created differently to fit a specific place. And the enemy has accused you of just constantly feeling that you don't fit, you don't belong here, and you can never find your feet, you can never find your little gap, and you always feel out. That's from the devil, and I just want to rebuke that in Jesus' name and say, Father, we'll ask you that you will give us an anointing, your Lord God, this morning for your Holy Spirit to flow and just for everyone to stop listening to the accuser, Father, and to hear your Holy Spirit of where he or she fits, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Please bless us in church with that, Lord. Bless us with hungry people that have needs, Lord God, to come to us. And then as they come forward or wherever there's an opportunity to pray for them, Lord, then your spiritual gifts will flow through us, Lord. Especially prophecy, Lord. There's so many cultures in Namibia, Lord God, that are bound by such demonic forces, Lord, and we need to hear your voice so that we can proclaim those words of liberty and righteousness and justice over them. There's so much injustice in our nation, Father, and you need to speak to us, and you're waiting for us to hear you, to seek your face, Lord God, so that we can have that specific message in time and in season. And when we speak it, Lord, we know it's not from us, we know it's not from our inner man, but it's from the Holy Spirit, Lord. And that when we speak it, it will not return void, Lord God. It will just bulldoze its way through the enemy's ranks, Lord God, and reach those people that are bound by Satan, Lord God, in just old rituals and traditions. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray that you bless our church to reach out to these far-flung edges of Namibia, Lord God, and even abroad. Father, we lift up the youth to you, that black youth that we have, Lord. I just see so many needs in their lives, so many destruction, Father, and sometimes it feels like we're preaching against a brick wall, but we need your Holy Spirit to come and give us that specific word so that we can get through that hole, and then it just disintegrates that wall and then falls apart, and then there's life. And life in abundance, then there's living waters, Father. We prophesy living waters over so many dead things in our midst. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray that you will resurrect some old promises and stuff that is dead. Resurrect it in Jesus' name, Lord. Give us the power by the Holy Spirit to speak to those dry bones and they will come to life in Jesus' name. Father, we just want to prophesy that we do not tolerate death in our midst anymore in Jesus' name. Father, that there's so many things that you've promised us and we're almost living with this death and life in the same space. And your Holy Spirit is saying, not anymore, Lord. So we speak life into that in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you will anoint us, each and every one, Lord, and pray specifically for those people that are the quiet ones in our church, Lord God, and you're going to anoint them, Lord. They're going to be in their soft nature. They're going to pray and prophesy things into being, Lord. I pray that you'll remove guilt and condemnation from our people in Jesus' name. I just want to pray for you as your heads are bowed. If you want us to pray this morning for your spiritual gift, whatever gift, just come forward quickly and we're going to lay hands on you. Is there anybody that wants us to pray for them? Okay, I need some people. I need some people to come and exercise the gift. Come, Anton. Baron, come, help. Okay, I'll close off in prayer and then we're going to pray for these people. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for Namibia just having a free nation to preach your gospel. We bless you for it, Father. I pray that you bless everyone as they go in Jesus' name.